Hour three kicking off here in the Fan Run Studios. Let's hit some hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Cam?
All right. Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau are among 11 golfers to file an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour.
Oh, wow.
Basically, they have obviously been suspended by the PGA Tour for joining the LIV Golf. They have filed that lawsuit today. In addition, three of those golfers are seeking a temporary restraining order from a federal judge that would allow them to compete in the upcoming FedEx Cup playoffs. I don't know what that has to do with the I don't know. But the lawsuit has basically requested that Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, and Matt Jones could play in the three FedEx Cup playoff events, starting with next week's FedEx St. June Championship in Memphis. The punishment that would occur to these players for not being able to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs is substantial and irreparable, the golfer's attorney wrote in a lawsuit. The temporary restraining orders need to prevent the irreparable harm that would ensue were they not to be able to participate.
Okay. Do we think this is like anything that they could possibly win?
I'm not sure.
I don't know how this works. Yeah, I haven't seen anything about this. Charlie, have you?
Like, just I don't really know enough about antitrust to give you an educated opinion here, honestly.
I saw a movie one time called Antitrust, or actually I saw it a lot of times.
You saw it a lot of times?
Yeah, I liked it. I had it on DVD. It was Rachel Lee Cook, and Ryan Phillippe. And I want to say Tim Robbins was in it as like somebody that was basically playing like, I guess it's supposed to be Bill Gates. It's like a tech movie, but the tech guys are bad guys, spoiler alert, and they're really ahead of the curve and them spying on us and stuff, so.
Ooh,
yeah. That's the only thing I know about antitrust is the movie.
It was good, though?
I mean, I liked it when I was in fifth grade, but I'm going to.
Oh, so it was like a kid's movie.
No. It wasn't a kid's movie. I just liked some adult movies when I was a kid, but I don't think it's going to have like good reviews and I'll look it up. I don't feel like it's actually good. But it's one of those as a kid you like. Although the audience rating gives it a 4.5 on whatever this Google review is. As a computer programmer, I've watched this movie so many times. Yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes.
2.6 on Letterboxd.
Okay. On Rotten Tomatoes, a 24% from the critics.
A computer programmer's dream job at a hot Portland-based firm turns nightmarish when he discovers his boss has a secret and ruthless means of dispatching antitrust.
Oh, that's
problems.
What it was. They were going out and like killing people that like he was killing like the other like web developers and stuff and like getting them rubbed out and stuff if they were competing against him. That's what it was.
I kind of want to watch it.
And then he had two women in his life that was basically trying to
spoil too much.
Oh, okay. You're not going to watch it. This isn't streaming anywhere.
What do you mean? I just added it to my watch list.
Where can you? Does that Letterboxd tell you where it's streaming at?
Yeah, it does.
Where is it streaming at?
You can buy it on Amazon and iTunes.
You can only buy it. There's no streaming.
Yeah, anywhere. I mean,
you're not going to. Don't buy this movie, Charlie.
It's too late. Usually when movies,
don't buy this
when,
movie.
When
you
usually
so much
when
other stuff you got to watch first. Charlie.
Usually when movies can't be streamed, I just buy the DVD.
Yeah, you can go. Well, still, I wouldn't go to McKay's and pay $2 for that.
Oh, I'm just saying, on eBay, you can buy DVDs for like $1.50 free shipping. I don't.
They
might be pirated.
I'll look it up and see if I can find it. I used to have it. I mean, it's not going to have it anymore. Just don't buy that movie.
Well, Jacob DeGrom made his season debut last night.
Against was a season debut?
Or,
I mean, I guess he did get hurt in the preseason, right?
It was his 2022 season debut.
Okay.
Against the Washington Nationals.
And they lost, right? DeGrom picked up right where he left off and
picked
and
up
lost.
Right where he left off as the Nationals minor league team somehow managed to figure out a way to beat Jacob DeGrom.
How many runs did DeGrom give up?
He gave up one run on three hits, recorded six strikeouts, and five innings pitched.
How many run support? So he didn't get any run support? They scored one run or something in the game? Or?
The Mets did score. Yeah, it was one run.
Okay.
The Nats ended up scoring five. They got four more off the Mets bullpen.
Yeah.
That's sad.
That's poor Jacob DeGrom.
It was actually Corey Abbott.
I don't
that
care.
Stole the show.
I don't
He was making
no
his season debut.
So are you mad at the Nationals or are you happy? Like, what's going on here?
Well, John, the only thing I'm mad
I mean,
that
they're
we traded.
Undefeated since not having Juan Soto.
Overrated.
To put simply, I'm going to be mad that we traded Juan Soto for probably the next 15 years. I mean, it'll just be something that'll always, like,
but you're still
make
you
feel
money and still pay
sick,
attention to him.
But I will still be 100% loyal to them, no matter how mad I am at
lick
them.
Lick the boot, Charlie. Lick the boot.
Hey, my anger, it's not going to change anything. The only things that I can control every day, John, are my attitude and effort. So that's what I'm working on. I'm trying to.
Your attitude is, you said you're going to be mad for 15 years, so you're not working on your attitude.
But I'm still trying to have a positive outlook.
Okay.
Still trying to keep, you know,
enough national
make
talk.
The effort to
Tommy
be a good
Tuberville
fan.
Tommy Tuberville intends to draft an NIL bill with Senator Joe Manchin, he tells Sports Illustrated. Tommy Tuberville on the state of college sports. I've talked to all my buddies. It's a mess. It's a free-for-all, he says. So he's going to be at work trying to draft something for NIL, which I don't know what that means for him. I guess he's going to be trying to like really regulate it or get rid of it. I don't know. We'll see what Tommy can get done.
There's only one man that can fix this.
It's Tommy.
And that's the man.
Who's the man? Tommy Tuberville?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's our gotcha. Guy.
No, I gotcha. I just didn't know if there was another man who could fix something. I wasn't sure. Next headline, Cam, you got anything?
Yeah, Garoppolo has been fully cleared. Basically do everything, but will not be practicing with the 49ers as they are seeking a trade partner. So I guess not rolling him out there as a distraction, or he probably doesn't want to be there either.
This is a situation where he's not getting traded until someone gets hurt, right?
That's what it seems like.
Because Seattle, if you're them, you're not giving anything up for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not making you a good team. You're fine with just trying to hope that you can get a quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
You're going to stink.
The Niners can save some cap room anybody by else? Cutting him before week one. But so teams may be waiting to see if they end up just going and do that.
If I'm the 49ers, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I would not either. But some teams could be looking at that, but we'll see.
It's tough, man. Once you lose that job, you almost never like keep the quarterback around, right? Like through into the next season.
Yeah,
you very rarely keep that quarterback there. Where, like if he, cause he's going to have allegiances in the locker room, right?
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
There's going to be guys
won a
in
lot
there,
with those guys.
There's going to be they won a lot of games together. They went to the Super Bowl together. There's going to be a lot of guys in there who are Jimmy G guys, especially the first time Trey Lance messes up. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that he's going to have to constantly look over his shoulder. So they might end up cutting him. If I am the Pittsburgh Steelers, like, why don't I just try to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo?
You'd be like, hey,
I think
we'll
I would be
you...
kind of looking around a little bit. Hey, wait, Mitch.
Literally be like, hey, we'll trade you one of these quarterbacks we have
Mason,
and be your backup.
And like, Kenny Pickett sucks. Like, I was going to say he's young, but he's not young, right? I mean, Kenny Pickett is just
probably
as old as some of the
probably.
Best quarterbacks in the league right now. He's inexperienced, but, man, like, you can't not make a move because of him.
Yeah.
I know you're just drafting in the first round, but that's part of the reason I'm down on the Steelers. Like, they could have gotten a difference maker, and instead they drafted somebody who's probably not going to play for them this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much salary cap they have or whatever, or what the implications are there, but, man, like, if they had Jimmy Garoppolo, I might buy into what Charlie's been telling me about them being, at least a solid team that can contend for a playoff spot. But I do think Jimmy Garoppolo is a pretty big upgrade from what they have.
I think
Jimmy's probably, like, somewhere, like, 17th, 18th best quarterback in the league. Yep. But I think right now they currently have like the 31st, 32nd type of quarterback in the league. Like outside of Drew Locke, like, I mean, is there anybody that's starting right now that you feel worse about than Mitch Trubisky
or
Mason Rudolph?
I actually like Drew Locke more than Mason Rudolph
or
Mitch Trubisky.
Well, that's fine, but like, is there anybody else like starting right now that you look at that and say, you know, outside of rookies that aren't, or whatever, but
Justin
maybe
Fields.
Brissett, maybe.
yeah, Brissett for the six games, sure.
Outside of that, not really.
You said Justin Fields?
Justin Fields for
okay,
me.
Okay,
yeah.
I just feel bad about his team they're giving him.
If I'm the Bears, though, like, obviously trading for Jimmy Garoppolo isn't going to do anything for us. They're not getting over the
hump.
The team's not very good, and you want to find out what you have with Fields. But, like, yeah, like, I just feel like it's a pretty huge upgrade.
Yeah.
The Steelers actually probably could contend for a playoff team if they had Garoppolo, which is funny because they managed to somehow come out of this offseason like, yeah, let's just roll it back with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, two guys who might not be able to play anymore.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, add Mitch Trubisky, 40th.
Yeah, that's not good.
I had Kenny Pickett, 42nd.
Yeah, that's not.
There's Rudolph
Mason Rudolph outside of the top 50.
Yeah,
he's probably bumped up to 39 now the way he's been practicing.
Yeah, maybe you might need to readjust those.
The two quarterbacks in between. Well, the one quarterback in between is just Mike White.
Mike White showed more last year than Mason Rudolph probably has his entire career. And Kenny Pickett.
But I have Drew Lock 29th.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what to do with that, but that seems about right for him. I mean, I would have him 32nd, but
I have five starters behind him.
Okay. How many guys on the bench do you have in the top 30?
Guys not starting in the top 30. Yeah. I have Case Keenum at 28. I have Tyler Huntley at 24.
Okay.
I have Gardner Minshew at 18.
18.
Seems a little too high.
Yeah.
I think people severely underestimate.
Yeah. Do you have him ahead or behind Jalen Hurts? Gardner Minshew. Is Jalen Hurts higher or lower than 18th?
Lower. I have Jalen Hurts 20th.
I do think there might be a pretty quick hook on Jalen Hurts this year.
I think Gardner Minshew is the better quarterback.
I think he should be starting. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
If you gave me that team with like the promise of hey, we're gonna try to develop Gardner Minshew. He did show some signs of competence in Jacksonville. He actually won a couple games there and made them look half competitive, which no one else has really done besides Blake Bortles when he had a great defense. And we think that we can get something out of that with a good roster around him. I believe more in the Eagles than I do with Jalen Hurts.
Well, see, to me, there's the problem is, like, I don't think you can really build around Gardner Minshew in the sense of, like, I think what he is probably the best he's ever going to be, which is fine. Like, he can be, like, the 20th best quarterback in the league. They're rolling the dice on, you know, Jalen Hurts improving and becoming a guy that
it's like they don't even know that with. Gardner Minshew spent the offseason in an old prison bust focused on Super Bowl or bust.
He did that this offseason?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's
he lived in a bus outside of trainer Anthony Tumbarello's gym in Bonita Springs, Florida, and he just lived there all offseason.
Outside the gym, they just were letting him do that. He's like, sure, man, yeah.
Good for him. Put in the work. Yeah, I do probably agree that he's better than Jalen Hurts. For A.J. Brown's sake, he might end up with the starting job. Mm. Right now at Costco, if you're in the New Jersey area, you can get Rutgers season tickets.
No way. Just at Costco?
Yeah. They got a box, or they got like a paper that you go and just get scanned. It's $99 for lower-level sideline tickets for the regular season home games for Rutgers football right now at Costco for $99.
Lower-level sideline season tickets for
$99.
Less than a tank of gas.
It looks like it says something about – it looks like 38%. I want to say 30% off maybe. I don't know that $99 is cheaper at Costco than you would if you called the ticket office. I can't really make out that last part of it, but if you're in the area and you want some Rutgers season tickets, there you go.
I'm about to drive up there myself, actually.
You would think, like, surely they got like at least one home game against like Ohio State or Michigan where you can make your $100 back, right?
You would think so.
I mean, that's what, you know, like when Vanderbilt was at their season tickets, like, I mean, you could buy those and like Tennessee fans would buy them from you. You'd make your money.
Yep.
Surely Rutgers has one good home game that people would want. Nebraska. I mean, I don't know if Nebraska fans.
I don't know. The Big Ten fans travel well enough to fill up Rutgers Stadium?
I mean, I think Michigan and Ohio State fans do, but it doesn't look like they play them at home.
Do they, though?
They play Michigan and Penn State. Between Michigan and Penn State, you could sell those tickets.
Like, do you think that Michigan and Penn State fans travel well enough for that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do they not?
I mean, I don't know. I guess, if you're a Michigan or Penn State fan, though, that would probably be, like, ninth on your list.
Penn State – was that the game? Was Penn State Rutgers the game? Did that game go into a bunch of overtimes? Who did Penn State
that
play
was that Illinois?
Illinois, okay, thank you.
Brett Bielema.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they wouldn't want to travel to wherever the hell.
Is it what, Piscataway?
Yeah, it is Piscataway.
Mm-hmm.
Give Troy an extra trivia point.
Well, Cordae mentions in a rap song.
Oh. RIP to his relationship.
I literally just saw a tweet that says they think they're still alive or still together.
They're back together.
Wait, Cordae
and Osaka. Yeah,
yeah,
just I
strolled
saw.
Past a complex.
Who's Osaka?
Cordae and
Naomi Osaka.
They were Cordae was dating Naomi Osaka.
Apparently, still is,
yeah,
according to Complex.
Dude, what?
When she won that major, they were on the.
I only knew of him because I knew of her.
I've been a big Cordae fan since he was on like SoundCloud. I randomly stumbled upon him on Twitter and just really liked his sound.
It would just always be at like the sports award shows of her, and they'd be like, her and her rapper boyfriend, Cordae. And I'm like, who in the world is that?
He was living life, bro.
Cordae's always been the big star to me. Like, I haven't ever thought about Naomi Osaka besides when she quit tennis that one time.
They were dating when that happened.
I mean, this has been going on for a while.
Good for her. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
To get rid of him?
No, I mean to like date someone of his caliber.
I think you're overestimating his caliber.
I think he's definitely the bigger celebrity.
That's not.
That's so stupid.
He's a top three rapper.
He's the highest
so
paid.
Stupid. You don't mean that.
No, he is, right? Active rappers? Yeah. J. Cole, Jid, Cordae.
As absurd as that
those
is.
Are all just in the same sentence?
And Earth Gang.
Like,
top four.
Are you talking about just skill or stars?
Skill.
You call him a top three star. He's not a top three star.
No, he's not a top three star. Top three skill.
I couldn't name one of his songs.
I do like a song he got called Super.
Okay.
I do like that one. I mean, I do like a couple of his songs. I'm not acting like he stinks. He doesn't stink.
Yeah, I haven't.
What's he's got one with Gataway.
I told him put the Gat away.
What's the one with him and Anderson .Paak?
R&P.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one a lot. So, I mean, I do like some of his stuff.
Locationships is the song that I'm thinking of that mentions Piscataway. It's a good song.
I'm just surprised that you didn't know he was dating Naomi. But either way, send us to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. $58,871 total season tickets sold. 16,781 new season tickets sold. More than double the previous on-record high for new season ticket sales. How about that? Dr. Danny getting it done.
You said it's more than double?
That's what the graphic that they tweeted out on Tennessee Football says. More than double the previous on record high. So I don't know I don't know when they started keeping the record.
Yeah.
I don't know when they started tracking this. So it could have just been like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But they say it's more than double the on record high for new season tickets.
Okay, okay.
I wonder what kind of.
Because they changed the system, you think?
Yeah, no, it's definitely that. Yeah, well, I will say it's a couple things.
Because they're saying new, so that makes you think it's kind of.
Well, no, the new are going to be new people buying them. People have given some up over the last couple of years as we've sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, the new setup made it pretty affordable for people my age to buy season tickets.
Wait, these are new season tickets.
These are new owners signing up to buy them. New commitments.
So 59,000 new commitments? Oh, okay.
No, 58,871 total.
Okay.
16,781 new.
So, okay, that's where I got lost for a second. Yeah.
16,781 new from last year to this year. Which, I mean, I do think that the excitement on the field, I do think that plays into part. I do think, obviously, like the home schedule, having Florida and Alabama plays a part.
Yep.
But also, like, I'll say that the affordability of the season tickets was a good move. I know it made some people mad. I know if you are a legacy Tennessee Vol fan and if you are someone who was grandfathered in and had great seats, you got screwed. 100% you did. They told you would not have to make a donation anymore for them. And then they switched it out and said, look, I believe it was like, $300 or $400, $500 maybe that you donated back 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Like, you've gotten plenty bang for your buck. We're changing the rules. And that opened up a lot of seats for people. And it also, you know, they lowered the donation tier that you had to have lower level seats. Whereas in the past, you would have had to pay $1,000 a seat, $1,500 a seat. That became $600 a seat. You could come out with two lower level season tickets for $1,200, when in the past that would have been well over $2,000, I believe.
Yeah.
Even more so than that. So I'll give Danny White a lot of credit for that, and he was able to do that and make it more affordable for new season ticket holders and make the lower level seats more affordable because he got rid of the grandfathered in clause and made those people kind of pay more money for their seats, which sucks for them. I do empathize with them. If that was me, I would be irate about it. But
is it fair, you think?
I don't want to talk from the perspective of it being fair or not, because if it was my family that did that and I felt like I had a lifetime contract, I would not think it was fair. If I'm being objective, I would say that, again, I feel like they got a lot of bang for their buck. That $500 or whatever they donated back in the day, like, went a very long way, and they got a lot of run out of it. Not their whole lifetime, but
were they still? They weren't having to donate anymore, but they still have to pay for tickets.
Still
every
to pay
year?
For tickets. Okay, yeah, still yeah. to pay for tickets, but you didn't have to make like the $1,000, $1,500 donation.
Yeah,
and those are like for like some of the prime seats too. So like, do I think it's fair? Probably not, because again, if it was my family that had the contract voided and all that, I would be upset. But
yeah, I don't think anybody should have a lifetime claim to anything.
That's probably fair, but at the same time, like, I think season ticket prices and football in general has gone and gotten so much more expensive that, like I said, I think they got plenty of bang for their buck. But I do empathize, and I do think it sucks, and I would be irate if it was me, but I'm happy for the 16,781 new season ticket holders that get to kind of have a chance in the game as well. What do you think? You think it's fair?
Well, I've gone back and forth
mm-hmm.
because I've talked to some people that were affected, that, you know, that had the grandfathered in tickets forever that yep. are absolutely irate, and they've expressed to me all their emotions, and whenever I hear them talk about that, it makes me mad for them. I feel upset for them. I'm just like, yeah, that's messed up. You guys got screwed over, but then, you know, when you read off the headline, hey, 16,000 new people got season tickets, and it is more affordable for others. And, like, even my parents just bought some season tickets. Like, it's affordable for them to buy some season tickets,
too. You guys didn't have
season
tickets before?
No. So it does.
How many did they get, 2 or 4?
I think 4.
That's cool.
So now, you know, for those people, I'm excited for them, and I'm excited for the athletic department, and I'm excited for the modernization of the ticketing process and what that could lead to for the future success of Tennessee athletics. But I do just at the same time, you know, I get those people's gripes. So all I'm saying basically is I don't have a firm stance.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's okay to not have a firm stance because, you know, I think I see both sides clearly. So, I mean, sometimes the middle's okay. Like Cam said, having a lifetime claim to anything is a pretty nice reality, but also, like, not very...
It just feels like...
Monarchy.
Well, yeah, it's just also, like, yeah, it's just not very practical.
It feels irresponsible to give anyone a lifetime claim to anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
that's
but
take.
By the people giving it.
Yeah, it was. But it is what it is.
But if you promise that to get the money...
And also, I've always been a big proponent of most of the time, the people that got the money to, like, do a lot of stuff like this aren't as big as fans as the other people. I like the
well,
other
no,
people
I,
get a chance.
See, I disagree with that because the money that they had to give back in the day, I mean, I don't know, like, you know, with inflation how much it would have been. But I disagree that the people in the seats aren't the biggest fans because I do think, like, there are generations of fans who have gone up going to the games. And I know a lot of those people, and I've got some of those people in my life, and they're bigger fans than me. Like, I mean, I think this wasn't like a, hey, you're getting priced out, you can afford it thing. It's just like your family made a donation way back in the day, and, like, no matter what your status is, like, you've been able to get those tickets. So I understand, like, the perception we were talking about, like, the Predator fans maybe. The people who can afford to go to games now, like, probably not as big as fans as the people who could afford to go to them in the past before they got priced out. But that wasn't really the situation here, I don't think.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't think it was either. I think that maybe you have fans now that buy tickets that aren't as big of fans, and maybe you have people that weren't as big of fans that lost tickets, but you also have mega fans that can outbuy tickets, and you had mega fans that were already buying tickets. Like,
some,
it's just,
I would say some people are still buying tickets.
I don't
tickets
think there's a strong correlation.
I would say some people are still buying tickets to resell them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're buying season tickets for the longest, like, you're almost getting priced out of doing that unless you're just, like, completely using your donation as a tax write-off just because of how much more expensive it made the tickets. I don't know. I feel like anyone who has season tickets at Tennessee for the most part has been a quote-unquote real fan. Now, there are some who do it for the social status or, you know, do it for businesses and things of that nature, but I would say for the most part it's been that way. 168% says Tennessee. That's how far they got to meeting their goal. They wanted to hit 10,000 new season tickets sold. They give Vol Nation credit for making a statement with almost 17,000 new tickets sold. Again, 168%. More than doubles the new number of tickets sold. The previous high was 7,500 leading into the 2015 campaign. So the 2015 campaign, of course, that was, you know, coming off of a nice bowl win in 2014, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Who'd you beat in 2014?
Was that when you beat Iowa when the kick was thrown backwards?
2014?
And then, yeah, and then 2015 you beat Northwestern.
So you beat up on Iowa. Your offense looked like it was getting ready to take a big step. You had Dobbs and Hurd, and then, of course, you had Kamara there, and then, like, it was a pretty exciting time.
So you think it's going to be significantly harder to acquire tickets this year, like games?
I would say you're still going to have the option and availability to do it, like, on resale markets. I just think they're going to be more expensive because, again, like –
because last year it was so easy.
yeah. But, like, this year, like, we talked about, like, Florida tickets are already $150 face value. So, like, if you're buying them on the resale market, like, you're looking at, you know, $200 at the very least. And that's if somebody's just trying to break even when you consider the fees. Like, if you're buying from a third party, like, for that person to break even, you're paying $200.
Yeah. I was so annoyed when I was looking at the tickets for LSU, Tennessee to get in there.
Yep.
It's like, I'm paying less to go sit four rows up in an NFL game than I am to go see LSU, Tennessee.
Are they that bad already?
Yep. Yeah, man. It's over, like, it's like 130
to get in. How much was it to get in?
130 to get in.
I thought it was even more than that, but yeah, like maybe the very top
earlier
of the stadium.
Yeah.
Missed 300 to be in the lower level.
Yeah, it's unreal.
It's 150, 160 bucks just to get in. Maybe it's gone down a little bit, or maybe it's gone up. I don't know, but
probably with fees, most places you get up there at least. Let's see.
Tennessee writes that this continues the momentum that the department is feeling following a record-setting fundraiser year. During the 2022 fiscal year, the Tennessee Fund set records for fundraising, cash receipts, and total donors. So, like, you know, Danny White's got three things to hang his hat on. If you actually set records for total money brought in, cash receipts, and total donors, you know, that's a big-time flex for Danny. He does it again.
Jeez, yeah, 135 is the cheapest to get in on this site I use.
Is that before or after fees?
That's with the no fees.
Well, yeah, so like, yeah, 150, 160.
Or with, well, no, this website doesn't have fees, so.
Oh, okay.
135 is
the
pretty
hell kind of website doesn't have fees?
Oh, it's an app. I got an app.
Yeah, you don't have to reveal it. You can keep it secret.
Text it to me for sure.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Overrated, underrated after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
You're heating an...
Overrated. Very overrated.
It's overrated.
Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I'm going to tell you why.
I think that's a solid rated right there. Perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right. Who's ready to play some overrated, underrated?
I am. Let's play.
All right. We'll just lock you in as playing.
I was letting him speak for both of us.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Let's play.
Sweet. Well, let's go. All right. First up, I've got the month of August.
I mean, I think it's properly rated as terrible. Does anybody like August? I mean, like I said, it's anywhere. It's bottom sixth. It's either 11th or 12th. You pick whichever one you want to pick, and it's properly rated. It's hot. There's not much going on. Go back to school if you're a kid. That was always terrible. Mm. It's just it's a bad month. No good. No redeeming quality.
Okay. Okay, so.
I know Charlie didn't like going to school as a kid.
I don't like going to school as an adult.
Right. So, I mean, that's what August signifies. Like, summer's over. Oh, no, summer's over. Time to go back to school.
But now we're not kids anymore.
Well, people got kids now, though.
Yeah.
Well, then you're thinking, thank God I get these demon seeds out of my house.
Or you have friends who are teachers that are like, oh, I got to go back to work now.
Don't have to spend as much time with them anymore.
Yeah, maybe if you're a parent, maybe it does change. Maybe it's like, hey.
Okay, so.
Happy the kids are here. Back at school.
Months that are better. December and March, obviously. October, obviously. November and September, I'll go ahead and say as well. But I'd say August is maybe 6 or 7.
Oh, my God.
7 or 8.
This is the worst take you've had in a bad week of takes for you.
You know, a bad week of takes for me is just, it depends on who you ask. I think it's been a good week of takes for me and a bad week of takes for you personally, but... The thing with August
this
is
all changing right here. As you're saying, August is the sixth best month of the year.
I said sixth, maybe seventh, maybe eighth, but like.
Oh, so you're just hedging bets now? You're just gonna keep going? Maybe ninth? Maybe tenth?
Nah,
maybe
I'll cut it off at maybe eighth because I think there's a good argument for April, May, June, or July.
God, June and July.
But for August, I would say still better than June and July because you get the fun of fun, good summer weather. You know, it's pool season, it's golf season, it's lake season. Like, you can enjoy it being hot outside and bodies of water being warm. But with August, you still get some football.
Oh.
It's a tease. Like, it's blue balls, but you still get some football.
You're telling me August is better than June and July?
I think so.
Okay.
Maybe. I think so, yeah. Because, I mean, you still get training camp. You still get preseason. Like, you still get...
None of that's better than... I mean,
week zero, every once in a while, you get real week one. Yeah, you get
you had a whole
Memorial
thing
Day.
About how fun
yeah,
the
you get Memorial Day.
The College Baseball World Series is, and the college football, college baseball postseason, and you get the NBA Finals. I mean, all that's better when it comes to sports. And again, no school.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I'll give you June. That's what I said. There's a good argument for about 4 months: April, May, June, and July.
There's nothing redeeming about August, as far as I'm concerned.
The weather is great.
It's too hot,
and you're starting to get football.
Too hot.
Still summer. And you get a...
Not really if you go to school.
You get Labor Day, right? Or Memorial Day? Memorial Day.
What's that? You get Memorial Day in August?
Or which one's the one... Is it the one that's in August? Is it Labor Day or
There's
Memorial
not
Day?
One in August. There's one in beginning of September.
Because you can't wear white after that day.
It's Labor Day and it's beginning of September.
I thought it was the last week of August.
You thought wrong.
I thought it was like the last Monday of August was
no
Memorial Day.
No, it's the first weekend of September. It's the first Monday of September.
And that's a knock on August.
All right, move on.
I'll say August is slightly underrated.
Okay. Next up we have?
You're not supposed to wear white, though, after that.
Mm. I think that's changed. I think now it's just you're not supposed to wear like linen. If you have white linen.
I don't even know what linen is. Like, for me, linen is like beds.
Yeah, I got a couple of linen shirts I wear over here. That white shirt I wore last week was a linen shirt. I don't know if you remember, like, on Friday when you said I was all dressed up, but that's a linen shirt. Next time I wear, I'll let you feel it.
Okay.
Like linen dresses, things of that nature.
I kind
of
just wear whatever I want.
Basically, like linen pants. We see people wear like white pants. That's usually linen pants, usually.
I have white pants.
They're probably linen then, maybe.
I don't really know.
You're not supposed to wear those.
To me, materials are rough or smooth or silky.
Yeah.
And that's about the extent of it. Like this shirt, it's a smooth. It's like a smooth shirt.
You call that your smooth shirt? Just your regular t-shirt and you just call it smooth?
It's like, I think this is cotton.
Next, Cam.
Cotton, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Next up we have M&M's.
What do you call silk shirts?
Silky.
Pretty smooth to me. M&M's. I'll say for my life I was wrong about M&M's. Or my taste buds changed. I don't know what it is. But now I am a peanut guy over the regular milk chocolate M&M's. Mm. Which I think I like the peanuts more. But I also think I like the milk chocolate less. Which means now I kind of take M&M's down a peg. I think M&M's are a little overrated. When I was flying, I couldn't get any food. Because the damn airport closed too soon. I was like, what the hell is this? I was like, how can you make people fly all day and then close like food places at 9:30? How the hell is this happening? So the only thing I could do is go get a little snack. So I got a bag full of M&M's. And all they had was the milk chocolate ones. And I got to be honest, I was very disappointed and very unhappy with it. So I'm anti-M&M now. Overrated.
Okay.
So much better chocolate I'd rather have. So much better like just candy I'd rather have too if you throw Skittles in there.
Let's see. M&M's, they suck. Pretzel M&M's are some of the best candy. Peanut M&M's, right there in the middle, they're pretty good candy. There's also the nostalgia factor because my grandma always had peanut butter M&M's in like this little vintage candy machine. She had a stack of quarters. You put the quarters in, you get your little handful of pretzel M&M's. Those were always, peanut M&M's. Those were always
making
great.
Making money off you.
I've heard people talking about how much they like the peanut M&M's or the pretzel M&M's though.
But I think pretzel M&M's are by a long margin the best M&M, and one of the better candies overall. I don't know where to find pretzel M&Ms anymore. I haven't been able
to find them in a grocery store,
a year. I have not found them at any of the grocery stores. As someone that's been looking for pretzel M&Ms, I don't know if they discontinued them.
I find that hard to believe.
The mini M&Ms, very good. You know, the ones that come in the cylinder. And then the new, all the new like cookies and cream M&Ms and the other novelty M&Ms that they come out with are trash. So I'd say that with all of that information combined in just one grand M&M total, they all kind of weigh each other out into a good proper rating, Cam.
Okay.
So with all that being said, properly rated.
But if you can find me some pretzel M&Ms, I'll pay you for them.
I'll keep an eye out. Keep my eyes peeled.
Just anyone.
I don't need another one.
Okay.
I kind of wanted another one.
That whole spiel about M&Ms really took me out of the mood.
Cam,
and you going through all the list of the months and just for some reason. We weren't ranking months. We were just talking about whether or not August was overrated or underrated.
Well, you said it's rated as a bottom 3 month.
It is. I said bottom six. I say bottom two. Like, so I mean, like, when I say bottom sixth, I mean, you know, you divide by 12.
Sixth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like with a TH.
Yeah.
Okay, like, well, I was trying to figure out where it lied for me to know if it was where if it was overrated 11th, or not.
11th
like,
or 12th for
me. I came in at like 7th or 8th, so I think it's slightly underrated. But Cam, what's our third topic? I want to know.
The third topic is going to be Dak Prescott.
Ooh,
it's probably a little underrated at this point.
Yeah, that's a fun one. I was going to say, he went from very underrated to properly rated to a little bit overrated to, I think, very overrated, back to a little overrated, and now I think we've almost gotten to the point where he's underrated just ever so slightly. Because he is what he is, which is no matter who comes and goes from the league, he's just always going to be the 10th best quarterback. He's always going to have statistically good games. Like he's always going to be in and around the playoff conversation and in and around the media. And I don't think he'll ever be an elite quarterback, but he's better than your middle tier of quarterbacks too. So I'd say he's slightly underrated.
I think that's probably fair.
Yep.
For a while, people were trying to say he's like top five, you know, drastically overrated. But now everyone, I think, has him more like anywhere from 8th to 12th or 13th. And he's probably like closer to like 7th, I would say.
Fair enough.
I'd say that's probably fair for Dak. Last call on the other side. Last call and the fan run live stream is brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine. Dr. Laura Linderman in Memphis, Tennessee can do a fantastic job of getting you back in the game of life. If you're experiencing any discomfort or a pain that is limiting any of your activities, you need to listen up. Go to LindermanSportsMedicine.com and learn more. It'll be worth the drive to Memphis if you're not from Memphis. If you're in Memphis, you're probably already familiar with her work. LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Cam, you got a story for us for Pump the Brakes?
Yeah.
What do you got?
All right. Woman makes $800 a month doing this.
Can't be OnlyFans. That's nothing to brag about. But I'll stop.
Yep.
Recycling.
Ooh, you think that? Ooh, you think she's just getting bottles out and stuff? I'm so tired of my insurance company sending me like nonstop pamphlets. They just send me stuff all the time. I'm like, why are you wasting so much paper? Like, what? I get mad when these companies send me stuff. I'm like, stop wasting paper. Just email this to me. Anyways, what does this woman do?
This woman makes over $800 a month by chewing gum and blowing bubbles on social media.
That's disgusting.
That
blowing bubbles, gum and bubbles are like the two grossest things for me. I hate it. Not like regular bubbles, like with a little stick. You blew it as a kid. That doesn't bother me. I've always hated people blowing gum. Apparently bubbles are gum. It drives me crazy.
I used to love to blow bubbles with gum.
Yeah, I bet you did. I bet you're also that guy at lunch that used to take his gum out and sit on the side of his plate or his cup, too. Ugh.
No, I'm not. I ain't broke, John. I don't smell like broke. I don't look like broke. I had not enough gum to just get a new piece.
Okay. Well, at least you got that going for you. I hated that the most. I hated that more than blowing bubbles. Maybe it was the people setting it out on the side of their plate or their cup. It was always girls. I'd be like, what are you guys doing? I'd get so mad. But
I'm a huge gum guy, though.
Blowing bubbles is gross.
But this girl would put in like 30 pieces at a time, blow a bubble like twice the size of her head, and take pictures and stuff, and
How did that make her $800?
She was selling like the pictures for some reason on social media.
Is this like a sexual thing? Or no, if it was a sexual thing, it'd be more than $800.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Even if it's not OnlyFans, I still think the sexual bubblegum blowing market's bigger than $800 a month.
Anything sexual with women is almost bigger than $800 a month.
She found like online communities dedicated to bubbles and stuff reason, and yeah, she just was like selling them pictures.
Maybe she just doesn't understand her market value, because I doubt there's I don't think there's a high availability of bubble blowing women out there.
Yeah, she could probably get more money out of this. She's like, I get requests for customized content that can differ in bubble size, my outfit, and camera angles. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That is wild. But
got a little bit of NFL news coming out as the Arizona Cardinals have a new controversy to look forward to and then get past the Kyler Murray video game stuff. This has been a good teammate, I guess, as Marquise Brown, known for being fast, has been arrested for criminal speeding.
Are the Cardinals just going to be in the debacle this year?
That's what I'm thinking.
How fast do you have to be going to get arrested for speeding and not just a ticket?
Like reckless endangerment, so I'd say.
Is criminal speeding like worse than reckless endangerment, though?
I don't think I've ever heard the term criminal speeding.
I don't think you can get arrested for reckless endangerment, right? Like, don't you just get a bigger ticket for that?
Either. Right.
Yeah, they just.
With maybe the right for them to arrest you if they want, but
is reckless speeding just the fastest the worst, it can go? Just you drove your car the fastest that your car goes.
He was arrested at 7:05, heading southbound on Loop 101, driving in a hover lane, which he wasn't in. Assuming he's by himself. Come on, give me the speed. He's placed on the non-active list on Wednesday. We don't know how fast he was going. Sure, they didn't just arrest him because he was in the HOV lane, right?
Oh, maybe that could be part of it.
You get arrested for that if you're by yourself?
Fined, but maybe they can arrest you for that, too. I'm not positive there.
Like, I mean, there weren't any like anything in his system, or else like he wasn't impaired, or else that would be classified as, like, you know, getting arrested for that more so than speeding.
Does anyone ever actually get in trouble for driving in HOV lanes?
This guy.
You get fines. I don't know about actually getting arrested.
Like, has anyone ever
you.
Heard of anyone in their life that's gotten a fine because they were in an HOV lane with one person?
No, because I don't know people that do it, actually. Because people are worried about it. Like, I know in Georgia they got the cameras on the lane.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you will get popped.
I feel like that's something you get, like, tickets for.
I've seen stuff before where people used to put like mannequins in the seat next to them, and they've caught people doing that.
Larry David once hired a prostitute to ride with him.
There you go.
So I need somebody in the hoveling. We got to get to the baseball game. Just hop in.
Granted,
there
haven't been a lot of circumstances where I'm driving during HOV times, but I don't think I've ever thought about it. I just drive in the farthest left lane.
Charlie's got all these fines piled up somewhere.
Where are they?
They went to your parents' house. Your parents are getting them.
I wondered. I've always wondered, like, have I just been low-key collecting fines and no one's told me?
That's
no,
fine.
They'd
tell
me. They'd let me know quickly.
Good show today. The Drive is up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.